The question was asked about the concept of Eshet Yifat Tor, that the Torah says there is a circumstance in which a person can marry a woman at war. So let's begin with
he can only marry her, correct?
Let's begin with a few concepts, and we'll work our way through the laws of Eshet Yifat Tor. Firstly, in ancient time, what was accepted was when you went to war, so everyone killed everyone else, and the winner took the other people's wives and children as captives. When they took them as captives, they were treated like animals. The Torah tells us that a person who does capture people at war must treat them humanely. There are laws about what you may or may not do to a servant. The Torah says, if you ever hit your servant in a way that caused them to lose a limb, then the servant goes scot-free. Imagine how an owner has to be careful with the student. You knocked out a tooth of his. The guy was busy working, you passed him a cup, you threw him, you tell him, here, put this brick on the wall. You threw him a brick, happened to knock out a tooth, Torah says you were negligent. You didn't treat him well, it goes free. So the Torah gives us guidelines about how we have to treat these servants. More than that, the Torah says when you take him, so he's entering a Jewish home, so you give him a year, a man or a woman, and you tell them, within that year, you have to decide, do you want to accept the mitzvot of the Torah or not? If he says, I want to accept it, so then if he's a man, he undergoes a circumcision and then goes to mikveh, just like a ger, only he's not becoming a full-fledged ger, he's becoming what's called an evet knani. Knan was the first slave in the Torah, right? The Torah says Knan was cursed to be slaves after he castrated his father, so his father cursed him to be slaves, but that's what would be with the Knanim. And nicknamed after Knan, we call all slaves Evet Knani. So a non-Jewish servant is called an Evet Knani. In order for him to remain in a Jewish home, he has to accept mitzvot. If he doesn't want to, we tell him, fine, we'll pass you on to the nations, we'll sell you. You're not staying here. Once you've accepted them, then you have certain rights and you have many obligations. You have obligations like a woman. Now, when people used to go to war, the custom was that all the nations, they knew they were losing the war, then the women of the nations would get all dressed up and they'd figure, let me try to seduce a young soldier. And this way, I won't end up being a captive of war, I'll end up being the wife of a soldier. So women didn't care if they were married, women didn't care if they were interested in getting married, they figured, my best bet now is to seduce the soldiers. And the Jewish women did this too. Towards the destruction of the first temple, the Navi tells us in Yeshaya that the Jewish women, you're so confident, worst comes to worst, if we lose our war, we'll just get all dressed up and then we'll be someone else's wife. The Navi tells him, I won't make it work for you. I'll ensure that it doesn't work. So God says, I'll make sure your perfume goes bad just at that time. I'll make sure everything goes bad and it won't work. But when they'd go to war, the common practice was that the women would get all dressed up and try to seduce one of the soldiers to marry them. The Torah says, what happens if you go to war and you're attracted? So the Torah says, really, you shouldn't be attracted. It's not in your interest or her interest for you two to get married. And
is
if
only planning on marriage, or can they have sex with them?
So we'll get there. One second. Slowly. The Torah first says, you should know that it's going to be harmful for you if you marry her. She doesn't believe in God. She doesn't want to be Jewish. She really wants to be back in her home territory, doing what she's used to doing. She's not interested in this religion. And that's not going to be a good partner in bringing up your children. Your children are not going to be good Jews either, because they're going to grow up in a home where the mother says, yeah, this is what your dad believes in, and I keep it too. But she won't be a good wife. You won't be partners in life. She became your wife because she was captured at war. But, says the Torah, the Torah recognizes that when a person's out at war, he's away from home, he hasn't been eating, drinking, sleeping the way he should, and now there's this young woman who's coming and dressing all attractive and inviting him and saying, come, I'm here for you. The Torah says, if I tell you don't do it, you're not going to listen to me. So the Torah says, okay, I'm going to do the following thing. You can go with her one time. She's inviting you and saying, come, me and you. One time, Torah says, I let you go with her. If you want to, you may. But I don't recommend it. After that one time, you should be able to control yourself. One time, you should let a person control himself. After that one time that the two went into the bed together, the Torah says, now you have a choice. Do you want her to be your wife or not? Meaning, we're not going to let you just play around the rest of your lives. One time, the Torah says, I understand. You couldn't contain yourself. I don't recommend it, it's wrong, but I'm going to condone it, because even if I say no, you're not going to listen to me. But beyond that first time, now you have a choice to make. You want to take her as your wife or not? If you don't want to take her as your wife, the Torah says you're not even allowed to sell her. Send her home. Tell her, I'm sorry, goodbye, it's over between us. You're not allowed, that's it. She's not yours. You can't treat her in both ways. You treat her first like a wife, and then you treat her like a slave. You don't have that option. But if you do choose to take her as your wife, so the Torah says, I want you to consider whether she'll be a good wife. So she has to come into your house, and she has to mourn her family. Part of the mourning procession is, let her shave her head. Let her grow her nails long. Let her sit there weeping. She's lost her whole family. She's going to adopt Judaism. She spends 30 days like that. For 30 days, every time he comes home, he's not allowed to live with her. She's not yet his wife. She has to sit there mourning the fact that she's going to have to be Jewish. And during those 30 days, what does he see? He sees her without her hair, crying, and her nails are long. She's not going to be able to play lovey-dovey during those 30 days. If she was all dressed up to attract him when he was at war, now they're back home, and now she's not all dressed up. Now her head is shaved. Now she's growing her nails long. Now she's crying. What's the purpose of that? That during this period he's going to have time to think. Is this really the partner I want for life? Is this the person that I want to build a home with? And after those 30 days he can decide. You want to marry her? Fine, marry her. Torah says you're allowed to. You don't want to marry her? Send her home. Treat her humanely. She's not yours. You treat her humanely and you tell her goodbye. That is the concept of Eshet Yifat Torah in a nutshell. Of course, we didn't deal with all the details, but that is the concept. Clear?